powered by the globalmovementsummit.com and made possible by the extraordinaire. This is the Supernova Podcast, where lifestyle, business, and consciousness share the same office space as your purpose and your brand. This is Lenaski, hostess of the Supernova Podcast, and I'm thrilled to have you here on another weekly invitation to greatness. An invitation where we take the conversation to a whole new level. Forget the rabbit hole. Let's go down that vortex and let's take things exactly to where we need them. Here's to that journey, inwards, onwards, and upwards with purpose. Angela, welcome to the Supernova Podcast. It's great to have you on this call.
It is my pleasure to be here with you.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, the world needs so much inspiration right now, and you're somebody who just epitomizes not only inspiration, but you know, you're going out there and you're getting things done, and you're just really leaning into what it is so many people are looking for. So I'm sure we're going to have such a great chat and everyone's going to love this call.
That's my intention for it. So I hope
yay.
So.
Yay. So tell us a little bit about your story. I mean, you're in the space where, you know, there's so many people who are just feeling like they don't have the vision to kind of go into what they want, and there's all these kinds of things, and you've got this really unique story and this really amazing piece, and you just kind of really call them on stepping in boldly into what they want. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so funny that you actually say that people have this vision, because that's, you know, I mean, that's kind of the thing. I say I have unlimited vision, but I have no sight. I have no sight. I actually lost my sight when I was 4 years old. I was diagnosed with multiple conditions, and one of them affected my eyes. And then I ended up with glaucoma and cataracts and uveitis and all this other stuff, but I could still see. And I had a really normal childhood until I was about 10. And then I lost my left eye, the sight, totally during a surgery that went wrong. And that left me with very limited vision in my right eye. And I noticed that my life was not going to be the same. I was never able to drive. I couldn't see regular print. I needed all sorts of devices to kind of see. And it left me very depressed and in despair about what my life was going to look like, because I had these really, really big visions for myself. You know, I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be independent. I wanted all of these things that most of us want for our lives, right? We want to be happy. We want to find a relationship. We want all kinds of stuff. And I just didn't see that for me at the time. And I had to learn to move through that. And once I did, it was interesting because I had a flare up and lost the rest of my sight. So from the time that I was 20 onward, I had absolutely no sight. And I managed to accomplish, and I say this, it's always difficult for me to say, but I started to say it humbly. You know, I've managed to accomplish more than most people with sight have. And every time I either read my bio or hear someone announce my bio, because I do a lot of motivational speaking and workshops and things like that, and I hear people read my bio, and every single time without fail, it's like, oh, they're expecting me to stand up. You know, it's just one of those type of things.
Oh, of course. You're just kind of like, where's this amazing person?
Yes, right. Exactly.
Somewhere.
Yes. That is totally it. So that's a little bit about my background and my story. And so some of the things that I've managed to accomplish, you know, I did go to two Ivy League universities and graduated, and I went on and I fulfilled that dream of being an attorney, and I practiced law at a top law firm. I was, you know, voted a super lawyer's rising star. And then I started to share my story because people wanted to know, how is it that you were able to overcome this huge, huge obstacle of being blind? And that's how I got into speaking. That's how I got into coaching. And I started my business, Blind Faith Enterprises, where I do just that. I offer workshops and speaking engagements, and I work with people one-on-one to help them overcome the obstacles in their lives. Because it's really, you know, you hear about, you know, there's no order of difficulty in miracles. I'm sure, you know, that's common to you and your audience, but it's sort of the same thing with obstacles. What's an obstacle in someone's life? It doesn't really matter what the obstacle is or whether it seems relatively small or insignificant compared to what someone else might be facing. The same skills apply to overcoming it and really living into your vision. So that's what I do. That's what I love to do with people.
And then I guess when you really lean into it and when you really look at the obstacle, you realize that it's not really there. I mean, it feels like it's there. There is this inhibiting thing, but it's actually something else that's holding you back altogether. It's it's not the money. It's not the lack of ideas or all those things. It's something so much deeper.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the fear. I will tell you that for sure. It's the fear. And that's always what it is. I mean, because blindness, I mean, it's real, you know, it's real. There are things that I can't do. And, you know, on the practical level, there are some things that are frustrating about it. But the thing that really changed, it was a huge game changer for me, was overcoming that fear and really realizing that that's what was holding me back. The fear of what if I fail? What if it's not possible? What if, you know, all of these, you know, things, you know, what if I get lost? You know, what if I can't find my way? Like these practical things. And that was the paralyzing part of it. Not the fact that I couldn't see, because once I really said, okay, fear is okay. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to admit it. And what is going to pull me through that? And what it really was my vision, like my bigger vision. I wanted that more than I wanted the feeling of being afraid.
And that is so powerful. That's you know, it's a beautiful space to be able to get to that point in your life and just kind of go, wow, and fully embrace that.
Yeah, it is. It's really awesome. And it's, you know, quite miraculous. And I didn't realize it as I was going through it. But looking back, it's like, man, you know, life is a really beautiful thing. And, you know, to be able to, you know, emerge from that place and share my story and my message and even just live for myself from this place where, you know, what I am is okay. What you are is okay. What you're facing is just fine. And you can get through it.
And that also comes down to another key point that you love talking about, which is the power of the human spirit. That we can kind of really, that nothing's unachievable. I mean, we can go to outer space. We've been there.
Yes.
We jumped out of the stratosphere. We're printing food.
Yes.
Seriously, nothing is impossible. It's the human spirit that needs to be met in this space.
Yes. And that's exactly what it is. Because, you know, it frustrates me and it kind of upsets me a little bit because people would come up to me and say, oh, you're so amazing. You know, I could never do what you did. You know, I could never do that. And it's like, no, that's not true. That's really not true because I didn't do it alone. Like I have my own set of unique gifts and talents and challenges and all that stuff. But that's what you have as well. You have your own unique, you know, you-ness that's there. But what's underlying all of that, and it's a common thread between every one of us, is this thing called the human spirit. And it's this tremendous power that we can tap into because I'm not special. Like I stand by that 100%. And some people get really upset when I say it because they're like, well, if you're not special, then what am I? What does that mean for me? It's like, no.
Which is the fear coming right back into the conversation.
Exactly. That's exactly.
We're just going to kick it out right here, right now.
It's like, no, I'm not special. You have this thing too. Like if you're human, and I think most of us are, then you know, you've got this thing that you can tap into. You know, it's not going to look the same as mine, but you need to find out what that vision is for you that's going to pull you through the fear. And then you need to really tap into that faith and that trust and the human spirit, because that's where courage from. That's where all of these amazing feats, like going into space and creating all of this stuff that people couldn't even comprehend would even exist or that was even possible. That's where that comes from. It's the human spirit.
Sure. And just going into what you were saying, I mean, there's all these then fragments and nuances. And you know, as you were saying, just like your fear or your obstacles aren't any lesser than somebody else's. You know, mm-hmm. if you stab your toe and somebody else goes through another experience, it doesn't make your pain any less. Same with your dream. I mean, it's, you know, some people really play big games. Some people play smaller games. But for them, that smaller game is their ultimate. And there's nothing actually small about it.
And
I think these words of like playing, I mean, we do want to play a bigger game. But then mm-hmm. we box things into what is big and what is
bigger. Yes! Yes! Oh, thank you. Amen, sister. That's what I'm going to say to that. Because that's the thing. Like, you're going to be, whatever it is that you are called to do, that's your big game. I mean, regardless if it's being a janitor, be the best darn janitor that you can be, because that's needed. Like, there are all these different roles that are needed. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of this story about, and you know, a janitor at NASA, actually. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was saying, you know, we went to the moon, right? Because if you didn't have the janitor there cleaning, the scientists couldn't do their job. The engineers couldn't do their job. Like, everybody plays a piece in it, and you need to own your piece, whatever that is, and know that that's your bigger game. That's what's needed. Because if everybody was doing what I'm doing or what you're doing, Lena, I mean, that wouldn't be a well-rounded universe where things actually get done. You know, we don't need millions of us. We need you. You know, we need you to find who you are and share that with the world.
Oh, I love that. Like, I'm just getting goosebumps as you speak. Oh, I'm just feeling every absolute angle of that. Oh, and also, I love your Facebook tag, Taking a Leap of Blind Faith. I mean, there's obviously a pun on that, but it's
a little cheeky.
It is a little cheeky. But you can totally own it. And it just speaks reams into stepping into our human essence and stepping into our human condition and just trusting that there's already a part of us that already knows that. And obviously this is where coaches and people like you come in, because you help facilitate that process, but we're already so close to it. We're already like leaning into it. We just need that courage. So you spoke about courage. How did you get courage, given the fact that your whole landscape of your whole world changed so drastically?
You know, and this was a difficult, difficult thing. Trust is so hard for us, because it's, I mean, you can't logically wrap your head around what trust is, right? It's not a mental process. It's a really emotional and spiritual thing where you have to surrender. Like, that's really what it comes down to. And that's when I found my courage. When I said, okay, there's nothing at all I can do about my situation. I can't change the fact that I'm blind. I can't change, you know, my circumstance in that way. And I surrendered to it. And that's when I said, okay, here I am. You know, lead me, lead me. I'm really going to step into this, you know, blind faith and walk out there and walk into my vision and find out what's possible. So it was this shift that I made from that negative what if. Remember, I told you, it's like, you know, what if I get lost? What if this? What if that? You know, and it was like, well, what if I don't? Like, what if, you know, all of these platitudes that we hear about anything's possible, what if that's the truth, you know, with a capital T? And that's how I kind of shifted into this kind of courageous. It started with curiosity. I think that's kind of the seed of courage, is being really curious about what is possible for you. What is possible for you? And then starting to explore and test. And as you test, your trust starts to grow and you realize, I can do this. This is possible. And you just keep expanding and expanding.
Because it really is just you playing, isn't it? It's all really just a beautiful, beautiful game. And, you know, just that one little step, just that one little commitment just ripples out into so many different things. And we could never preempt it. And we never know what it is until it's happened and made that imprint in the world.
We're getting deep here. I just need to breathe for a minute.
Well, this is the supernova. There's no rabbit holes. It's just vortexes here. We just go deep diving.
Love it.
Oh, no, absolutely. And tell us a little bit about about some of the things that you're up to these days as well.
Yeah, so I've got a couple of things on my plate. Obviously, there's the Blind Faith Enterprises, and you can kind of check out my website there, angelawinfield.com, to see what's going on. But I'm still doing the speaking, and I'm still doing the coaching on a very limited basis. I open up and take new clients because I really value the one-on-one connection. I know lots of coaches do the leveraged programs and the group programs, which is fantastic, and it works wonders for people. But I'm still very much into that deep, deep dive connection with people. So that's where my focus is. And I do OPEN. That's my kind of signature program, OPEN, which is an acronym for the method that I walk people through. So that's on my plate, and that's, I'm still going strong with that. But the other kind of new things that are on my plate is that I've taken this position as a program manager. And this is so like, it's a job, but it's at Cornell University. And it's like, you know, who thinks they're going to go from being an entrepreneur back into the workforce? But, you know, things show up and it was the right kind of call for me where I get to bring all of the pieces of me, my speaking and training background, my coaching background, the fact that I am a person with a disability, my legal background, the fact that I'm an attorney. I get to bring all of the stuff and even my leadership qualities and manage and lead this program through the Northeast ADA Center, which is the Americans with Disabilities Act Center, and provide this service to people where we help integrate people with disabilities into the workplace, into community life. And it's just a fabulous kind of heart-opening thing. And I'll tell you what's so interesting about it. I've resisted this area for years and years and years. I always, you know, said, you know, I'm not going to go into the disability field. Not going to, don't want it. I'm going to deny it. And then here it is, and it presents itself again. And it's like, you know what? Now's the perfect time for it. Yeah.
And it sounds like just a beautiful way to kind of really step into your next level purpose, to really make an impact as well. Because it's actually, it's not really a job. It's just an extension of your purpose. And the great thing is you just know that for the next couple of months or the next couple of years.
Right.
It's a solid thing.
Yes, that's so true. Because, I mean, the path is so, like, it never looks like what you think it's going to look like. You know what I mean? Things show up and you like, you evaluate it. You're like, oh, this so fits. Like, I see how, you know, I can contribute and be of value here. And it's just a stepping stone to the next place, but you really got to, you know, soak it in while you're there. It's kind of this thing where you're fully present and aware of what you have to do right now, but also open to where it's going to lead.
And I love that. And I think that's also such a powerful question, because we can do so much in hindsight. We can always kind of go back and kind of go, oh, I see how it's connected. And we still love those moments where we kind of go, oh, yes. I see the symmetry, or I never saw the layers and the nuances in that.
Right.
But the world right now can't be lived in hindsight. We actually need to just start being open. We need to start being in that space of surrender and just leaning into those moments. And just kind of going, well, where will this path take me? Can't quite see it. I can't quite understand it. But there's that blind faith coming in.
Blind faith. That's right. You got to feel it. And that's the thing. It's not about seeing what's there in front of you. Because, you know, sight in a way can be very deceptive. You've really got to sink into that heart space and feel out what is right for you. You know, that's where the truth really lies. It's not how people view you or how you think you're going to be viewed and all of this kind of headspace stuff. It's really about, you know, walking to that blind faith and trusting what your heart and gut is telling you about, you know, the opportunity in front of you and being willing enough to kind of step into it and see where it leads you.
So where have people, or even the industry, where have they been getting it wrong? Because, I mean, there's so much of these goal-setting things happening out there, and yet it's not translating. I mean, a lot of it is, but a lot of it isn't as well.
Is it? I think the big thing where the industry is getting it wrong is actually what you mentioned, what bigger means, a bigger game, what your big life really looks like. That's where we've kind of gone wrong. There's lots of coaches, there's lots of motivational speakers, and entrepreneurs out there kind of pushing their method. And, you know, it's, you know, be an entrepreneur, start your own business, start, you know, do this, do that. And it's got this kind of set goal for you already. I think that's where it's kind of wrong. You need to work with that individual person, because what is big for them isn't necessarily what's big for everybody else. And that's, you know, there's no program for, you know, the teacher who wants to live a big transformational life, or, you know, the doctor or the lawyer or the, you know, the everyday Joe who wants to live a big life. It's not necessarily go out and start your own business or be a coach. It could be something very different. And that's where the industry is kind of getting it wrong. It's kind of this cookie cutter approach. And it's not really bringing the tools to the person who's looking for fulfillment. That's, you know, and I hope, you know, it's my intention to kind of fill that space. And it's a tricky thing to do, because, you know, you've got all these traditional marketing tactics where you have to identify your target market and what they're looking for. And it's kind of like, what is it that people are looking for? And hoping that, you know, they're drawn to that so they can discover what it is for them. You know, one of the keys, I told you about the OPEN program, O-P-E, and I call those my master keys for unlocking happiness and success. And one of them, the E, is actually for education. And it's not the traditional education. It is to a certain extent. Like, everybody knows you need to have the right sort of training and knowledge for whatever it is that you're going to do or be in your life. But the other part is that self-education, really knowing who it is that you are and defining your life and defining your goals according to the dictionary of Y-O-U, your own understanding, your own understanding of what it is. Like, that's, you know, that's a big portion of living a big life and where the industry's kind of gone a little bit astray.
No, not at all. I mean, I think this cookie cutting thing and this goal setting, and as you said, there's an agenda. Very often there's an agenda or a prescribed plan. And what I'm loving with energetically happening now, which was just such a blessing to tune into it when I was doing the summits earlier this year, is that we're in this thing called the shift age. And everything right now is very disruptive. Everything is really moving and in flow, and we don't quite know where we're standing, but we know that things are really shape-shifting in a really big way. And those old ways of doing things by the textbook or by the blueprint are starting to kind of falter and fall. And that's where this intuition piece is coming in, and this real vision piece and this real connection that you speak about is going to be so much more powerful, because that's where people need to find that grounding, don't you think?
Yeah. I do think, I mean, times are definitely changing, the energy is shifting, and we're in a supernova, right?
We are.
The stars being born. Yes.
Well, my whole thing with supernovas is, you know, there's the typical star who's trying to be the all that or the expert in the room, and they're just competing. And if you really surrender into your next level purpose and your true vision, you become a supernova. You just let go of what they've been telling you to be and really let your inner light shine.
Yes. Yes. That is exactly it. Yeah.
So, I don't want to wrap up this call. I know that you've got four master keys as well. So let's have a look at what those master keys are for unlocking happiness and for really stepping into your uniqueness and not your specialness. Your authenticity. Yeah. Wouldn't authenticity be the word?
It would. It would. It absolutely would. Yeah. So open, O-P-E-N. Uh-huh. The O is for outlook, right? Really optimizing how it is that you view yourself, other people, the world, and the opportunities around you, right? So this key is all about removing, I call them lenses, right? Because I love wordplay. I love puns. So I really go with the blindness and the vision thing. But like, there are different lenses you can put into your glasses. Like, some people wear the rose colored lenses where everything's wonderful all the time. Other people have sunglass lenses where they're just, you know, everything's got a dark tint to it and they're the pessimist. And then you've got these people with corrective lenses, which I think are probably the trickiest, because it's correcting your natural vision to what is supposed to be, you know, your 20/20 standard for vision. And that's tricky because you think you're seeing what you're supposed to see, but what you're really covering up is your natural naked eye vision. And that's where your uniqueness is. So in optimizing your outlook, it's really about finding what that vision is for you and how you naturally see the world without these artificial lenses. So that's the outlook. It's fun stuff. That's some fun stuff there. The P in open is for plan. And this is your kind of nuts and bolts, you know, strategic kind of, how is it that you put together a workable plan to bridge you from where you are to where you want to be. And where you want to be is where that natural vision is pointing you. So this is the kind of the action items and the steps. And what people often forget about planning, I will tell you this all the time, is really connecting to that end vision and making sure that they have the right end goal, because there is a right goal, right? I can't tell you what it is, you know, for you, but that's what it is that you need to hit on, that right goal. Because so many times people have the wrong goal and they wonder, why is it that I'm not getting where I want to go? It's like, because that's not your goal. Like, that's some other body. That's someone else's goal. That's your, you know, corrective lenses goal that you think you're supposed to have. You're never going to get there. That's not what's going to pull you forward and make you do all of the hard work and all of the things and overcome the obstacles that present themselves to you when you're trying to get there. You know, when you have that big vision that really connects, it's easy to work your plan and put that plan together. So that's the P part of open. E, we've talked about a little bit, the education, that self-education about knowing exactly who it is that you are, knowing your strengths, your talents, your gifts, but also on the same, on the other side of that same coin is knowing your challenges, your weaknesses, where you need support, and where you need to work at it a little harder, or where you just need to, you know, say, you know what? I'm going to accept that, you know, I'm a very demanding person, or, you know, for me, patience is a very difficult thing for me, you know, knowing where your weaknesses are and where you need to where you might need to compensate a little bit to help you move forward on your journey. Then the final piece of the master plan system, the N in open, is for network. And this, again, you know, we know about the business networks, we know about the social networks and all that, but this is really your, I call it your CPR team, your core personal revitalization team. These are the people that breathe the life back into you. These are the people that really see your vision for you and hold you to that. You know, they're your accountability buddies. They're the people that lift you up and help you to move forward. You know, knowing those, identifying those people, knowing those people, even if you don't, you know, slap a label on them or tell them, you don't even have to tell them, you know, and some of the people, you don't even need to know them personally. They can be someone like Oprah. You know, she can be part of your network and be one of the people that you turn to, either in word or speech or whatever it is that you know, this gets you back on track. So those, that is kind of an overview of the four master keys for OPEN, O-P-E-N, Outlook, Plan, Education, Network.
Beautiful. That is such a beautiful model and actually what the world needs. And I just have to throw it in. You've met Oprah, haven't you?
I have! Yes!
So exciting!
It was very surreal, but very grounding. Like, I've never been in the presence of someone with the sort of energy that she has. Because you know, at least for me, I got myself all nervous and worked up and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to meet Oprah. Oh my God, it's Oprah. It's Oprah. It's Oprah. And then you're with her and it's kind of like, she's just with you. And I couldn't see her. Like, sometimes when I'm around people, and actually, most of the time when I'm around people, you can sense their energy. And, you know, and that they're there. And in a way, like, she just kind of met you in this way that you're just like, wow. It's just, it was an amazing experience. It was, you know, a brief encounter, but it was wonderful. And, yeah, she's an amazing person. And I went to the, her workshop there. It was a 3-day program, mm-hmm. and it was an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that just goes back to not only her, but the amazingness of you. And mm-hmm. you're kind of shrugging your head and kind of looking over your shoulder. But I am talking to you, Angela, because it's beautiful to see that, like, you know, you've gone through this journey. You've had this thing happen where you lost your eyesight, but you still went and went through the academia. You went on to become the lawyer. You went on to all these different things. And then following your feet in every moment of that time, if you hadn't had taken those 10 steps, those 1,000 steps at one step,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't be having this conversation and making the impact that you've been brought here to make. So it may feel like, how does it all come together? But I think that's also such a powerful thing. Like,
yeah,
knowing that it always, always does.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. And the thing that I'll tell you, because this was a revelation for mm-hmm. me, you know, a large portion of the journey, I was so consumed with just the journey that I didn't realize the impact of living your truest and greatest life that it has on other people. Like my then boyfriend, now husband, used to tell me, he's like, oh, you're so amazing. You're so inspiring. You know, you should share your story. I'm like, yeah, yep. That's what boyfriends are supposed to say. Great, honey. Thank you. You know, but I did not believe him until I graduated from Cornell Law School, and everybody in the auditorium, when I walked across that stage, everybody stood. All of my classmates, their family members, my professors, everybody stood and applauded. And that's when it really kind of shook me to my core. And I was like, this journey wasn't just about me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I was sitting there in my little corner, and I'd go back and like, I don't know if I can do this. And, you know, and it was just like, you know, I had these moments, and I really was caught up in, you know, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know what. And what it really was is, you know, yeah, it was, you know, partially about me because it was my journey and my life experience, my soul's experience and discovering my soul's purpose. But in doing that, just deciding that I'm going to take this journey for myself, I not only became the greatest leader of my life, I was a leader for other people. I was an inspiration to other people, and it impacted other people. And I think that's true not only for me, but for everybody. There's so many amazing stories out there when people really live into their truest and highest purpose, like Oprah. I mean, she's impacted so many people just by living her life, just by walking into her vision. She's inspired people. That happens on so many levels, regardless of how quote unquote big you're playing your game. When you do play your game,
mm-hmm.
it impacts others. Like, there's just no stopping it.
Oh, for sure. And no little action goes undone. I mean, even the person that delivers that one letter that changes your life has had the most significant impact and changed the world.
Yeah.
So you never really, as you said, you never really know, but owning it is such a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just two questions. As we wrap up, how can people support you in the work that you're doing? How can people come and meet you and contribute to the message that you want to put out there and help amplify what your purpose is?
Wonderful. So you can always go and visit my website, www.angelawinfield.com, and you can look at what I have to offer there. And you can also go and check out my Facebook page, www.fb.com/TheAngelaWinfield. You know, like the page, follow the page, and stay engaged. But the biggest thing that you can do to support me is to really identify and start working with the open method, whatever that looks like for you. I do have a free downloadable guide that will lay out the 4 things that I just told you about. And you can get that at angelawinfield.com/masterkeytipsheet. But just do that. That's totally free. Just work with it. Really use it and start to live into your purpose. I think that's the number one thing you can do to support me, is show that this system works, because it does.
And what I also love in that, what you're saying, is to best support you, you're gifting yourself by supporting yourself.
Like
you're not actually doing something, which is maybe also another fallacy of the empowerment industry, that you feel like you need to give yourself over to somebody else. But it's actually just standing in your own two feet and going, hey, I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my contribution. I see you. I'm here.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Beautiful, Angela. Anything else you want to say before we say our goodbyes?
Oh, there's so much I could say, but what I will say is that this has been an absolutely wonderful, wonderful experience, and it came at the perfect time for me. And it's just a demonstration to those who are listening right now that things do come in divine right timing for you. And if now is your moment, which it is, and you will have another moment and another moment, but if now is your moment, really do claim it. Really do step in and choose yourself. Choose to be on the path towards being that supernova and to being the greatest leader of your life.
So with that, and as we wrap up, we're going to breathe into that moment.
Yes.
And just be in it and feel it tingling through every bit and piece of it. Thank you, Angela. It has been great, and I'd love to chat to you again sometime soon.
Yes, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much.
Bye.
And there you have it. This week's call to invitation is all about creating your vision and really taking ownership for what it is that you're putting out there. I want you to write yourself back into the story of your dreams, to not make it something that's out there, but rather something that's embracing and just emanating from every single pore of you. You know, as the Global Movement Mastermind classes really step into taking that activity to a whole new level, I'd like to invite every single one of you listeners to head on over to our Facebook page, which is all about the Aspiring Supernova, and connect with your vision. Share what it is you stand for, and maybe you're even a little bit bolder. Maybe you want to lean in a little bit more and share your global movement. For more information about the Supernova podcast, head on over to www.lenaski.com. This is Lenaski for the Supernova podcast, signing out. Till next week.